y'all know what it is, man. You're now listening to Daddy's Skyline promo on GemGem.com. But Toys Treasures, you're not listening to nobody. Tune in every Tuesday from 8 to 9. Daddy's Skyline promo. You're not listening to him or tuning in. You're not listening to nobody. Holla.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to ILN Radio here on the GemGem Network. And we're live today with our guest today, Roy Martino. Roy, are you with us?
Yes, I am here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so looking forward to the interview with you today. You have, I was looking over your bio, and you have just accomplished so much. Would you like to tell the folks a little bit about who you are?
Okay, sure. Well, I began as a medical doctor. Actually, before that, I was born in a little island in Curaçao, the Caribbean, Netherlands, and Belize, which is part of the Netherlands. So I went to study medicine in the Netherlands. And after my study, I got into a severe car accident. And my physical therapist couldn't help me and advised me to go to an acupuncturist. And basically, that changed my life because after three treatments, my complaints were completely gone. And 6 months later, I decided to go study acupuncture. And my life has never been the same. But there was one thing that really made a big difference in my practice was that I told all my clients, all my patients, that if after 10 treatments, they would not be vastly improved or cured, all treatments will be free until I find out what was not working and why it was not working. And that decision changed my life because of that, I had to study everything possible because after 1 year, 30% of my patients were for free. And that's really, really a lot. So I went and studied, you know, nutrition, spinal adjustment, homeopathy, flower essences, Reiki, Qigong, everything I could get my hands on just to help my patients. So that was really a big impact on my career and also the research I've done. And what I found is that there's not one system that really works for everyone and that you have to put everything together. So I'm working with a system that's more a compilation of many different systems, Eastern, Western, quantum physics, everything mixed together. And that I call Omega Healing. And emotional balance is one part of it, a big part, but an important part as well.
If you folks would like to look online, if you're online, if you're here on GemGen, you can check it out, www.roymartina.com, R-O-Y-M-A-R-T-I-N-A.com. And I've just posted the link in chat. If you're over on GemGen, you can just click on that. Now, with over 30 years of experience in working with incurable cases, is there a most notable case in your research that you've come across, and what would that be?
Well, what was missing in the beginning, I think the first 10 years, was that, number one, I felt like I was the 100% responsible for the results. So if the patient would not get well, it meant that my technique or my therapy was not good enough. But after 10 years of research, I discovered that it was not completely true, that many of the patients that did not get well were sabotaging the healing, not consciously. I've never met someone paying money and coming to a doctor and consciously sabotaging themselves, but subconsciously. And sometimes the sabotage was not even a real sabotage. It was maybe something that, like a memory, I call it a soul memory that they're carrying within them. And until that soul memory is addressed, they cannot heal. They will be blocked. So the biggest breakthrough in what I've been doing has been finding ways to work with the subconscious mind of my clients, get them aligned. And the second most important thing is what I would call the healing of the soul. And this has a lot to do with past life memories, that some people just will not get well until you address any past life trauma that they may have that's blocking them from healing. But that's not a big percentage. I would say most of it is subconscious, 80%. And if we find a way to get the message of the disease or resolve the conflict that they didn't resolve or, you know, heal the emotional trauma, most people will get well just with that. That's a big breakthrough for me.
Now, for you folks listening out there, this is Roy Martina, and he calls himself a health coach, and that's a little bit different than saying that he's a doctor, although he is an MD with several degrees, an MD licensed in Europe and the Netherlands, certified acupuncturist, certified neuroassociative conditioning specialist, certified master hypnotherapist, and an instructor in the martial arts. Now, you have 15 years of research in the effects of environmental toxins on the immune system. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you have found and maybe give our listeners at home some common preventative measures?
Yes, so in 1986, I moved to Los Angeles, and at that time, I was working with a few people, and they asked me if I could do something for people who were suffering from the pollution and the smog in LA. So that's when I started with the research. And basically what I discovered is that you have three groups of people. One would suffer zero. They have no problems. They don't accumulate the toxins in the body. The second group has some toxins, but not so much. And there's a third group where it is like they're like sponges. They really absorb a lot of the toxins. And when I dig deeper into that, some of it, but not as much as I expected, was genetic, but most of it was emotional-based, that when people don't deal with certain emotions, they become much more prone to absorb toxins out of the environment and for that reason get sick as well. And this, of course, is not only for Los Angeles, it would be for any place in the world that certain emotions, for example, anger really is a big one. When people don't resolve the anger, it is like the liver get blocked, does not function as well, and we start accumulating more toxins. So that's one of the reasons in my book, forgiveness is a big thing, because when we forgive, we're not only letting go of the emotional poison, but we're literally letting go of environmental toxins and chemicals and heavy metals as well. And for me, that was, as a doctor, that was a really, really big breakthrough. And the reason I started calling myself health coach was that, you know, I see myself more helping people by coaching them how to change their lives than just be like a kind of a therapist that does all the work. So I have to teach them how to think differently, how to change their limiting beliefs, how to handle better emotions, stress, and all those things. So the name health coach was fitting me much better than just doctor, because that then people understand what I was doing.
Now, in the studies that you did for emotional stress and sabotage patterns, how do you bring a person to a place where you can identify that that's what it is, and then how do they go from there to being well in, as you say, 10 sessions?
All right, so there are basically a couple of ways to this, to find the sabotage. One method that I teach to a lot of doctors, lay people as well, is a form of kinesiology where you bypass the conscious mind and you can talk directly with the subconscious mind and get all kinds of answers. Another way that also works perfectly well is bringing people in kind of a slight relaxation. We call it just like a slight trance. It's a little bit different than hypnosis, where in hypnosis people often want, the hypnotists want to bring people in deep trance. And I developed a method called trance coaching. And basically what you do is relax the people a little bit. And when they're relaxed, then you bring them into their, what we call the so-called subconscious mind, and have them have conversations with themselves. A lot of it is like fantasy, but the answers they come up with is just amazing. Children are very, very good at it. Children can have dialogues, even with their organs, with all body parts, and get really valuable insight and messages. And then once they establish a way to contact the subconscious mind, they can start changing that. So, for example, positive affirmations have been very, very popular all over the world. But in my practice, I found them not to work as well, especially not when it comes to healing. And the reason for that is when we say something in the positive affirmation, like, I am healthy, it's what we call, it's a lie for the subconscious mind. The body gets stressed, and instead of healing, people lose more energy. So I need to teach people not to do positive affirmation that way. So we teach them combinations of acupressure, breathing, visualization, and then combine it with a positive affirmation. Then it works 10 times to 20 times better.
You talk a little bit, it shows me that you have some study in particular emotional stress patterns of business executives and athletes. Is those two groups outside of the norm for everyday citizens, or is there a reason why you focused on those two groups?
Well, number one, if we're dealing with a world-class athlete, they have such high, I would say, performances, and same also for a lot of the people like top managers, that in those cases, the research that I could do was much more, I would say, successful, because it's like the little things make a big difference. For an athlete to win a race where he has to win in 0.1 second faster than the previous time he was running or whatever what he was doing, and that's all in the subconscious mind. So part, the physical training can be the same, but the change in the subconscious mind makes all the difference. And the reason I worked with business executives is that they work so hard, they have so much stress, they're prone to so many diseases and burnout and hypertension, heart diseases. And my in both groups, I was looking at the subconscious mind to compare it with people who are sick. And what I discovered is that the same principles that I use to help a patient with a chronic disease get better is the same principles will also apply in sports and with business people or people with a lot of stress and those kind of things. So there was no difference. Even in relationships, we find the same principles again of sabotage in all areas of our life: finances, personal development, spirituality, health, and relationships, and work, and sports. All the principles are the same. So that's why also, the second reason why I call myself a coach, because I can coach all those people, and all the people that I train do the same thing. We're not specialized, let's say, only in disease. We specialize in work with the subconscious mind to get this aligned with the conscious mind, with our desires, our goals, and for that reason, we will perform better. If we're a manager, we will do better. If we're an athlete, we'll do better. If we're sick, we'll do better. A child will do better in school. Couples will do better in relationships. So it's applying all across the board. And that's what makes it so fascinating.
Is there a large percentage of people who that you find that are ill, that are involved in self-sabotage, and what do you think is affecting those trends?
All right, so if I look at the last, 30 years of my practice and research, number one, the kind of patients I was seeing were not typical, I would say, for most holistic doctors, because when I get to see them, most of them already did everything that is possible. They went to some of the big names in Europe. They went to the bigger clinics, to a lot of coaches and therapists and so on. So I got the really tough cases. So what I may say may not apply all across the board, because maybe the numbers would be better. But in the cases where people don't get well with the normal techniques, it's over 80% is all sabotage. I can say that really. And just a 20% could be things that the other doctors did not see or did not know, or it could be like something like an allergy that was missed, or a toxic, a toxic substance in the kidneys or the brain, whatever. But 80% would be emotional, or it would be unresolved conflicts, or it would be something from the past, especially the first 7 years are very important. A lot of the early traumas, even the smaller traumas, can still affect later on in life. Also, in a few cases, I also found vaccinations to play a role, but 80% would be emotional sabotage.
I found another something that was a little bit interesting here. Vocal currents and mercury toxicity. Can you tell us a little bit about what vocal currents are?
Yeah, you really did your homework anyway. So, I've done a research on that a long time ago. What it's all about is this, that when we go to the dentist and the dentist put mercury fillings in our mouth, and there's also gold. When we combine gold and mercury, we can get such strong, I call it a battery effect in the mouth. And that I've even given demonstrations where you can have a little light bulb go on just connecting between two of those fillings. It is incredible. Now imagine someone having this in their mouth going on 24/7. That's the kind of energy drain that comes from that is just crazy. People would have headaches. They would be exhausted. The immune system would be down. I've seen many, many problems from that. So that is what we call buccal currents. And the buccal currents are always there when we have two metals. If it's only mercury fillings, no other metals in the mouth, then the buccal currents are much more on a tolerable level. It's much less. So, but I think it's a big mistake when dentists put mercury fillings in people's mouth, because mercury is one of the most toxic substances known to mankind. And basically tell laws that you just cannot throw mercury fillings in the garbage. It's biohazard. It's so poisonous that they need to pick it up with special service. So the dentists still use mercury is really, really a big shame, because it's toxic and it's damaging for the brain, for the nervous system, and so on. But when it's combined with gold, it's a big killer and should be forbidden.
Wow, so we should really talk to our dentist about what's going on. Holy cow. Okay, tell
absolutely.
Us, I have another new word. So tell us a little bit about kinesiology.
Okay, kinesiology is used by many, many therapists nowadays. And it's a way to test the strength of the muscle. So you must imagine, and if the people listening, just imagine that you're putting out, let's say, your left arm next to your body. You stretch it in front of you straight, and the elbows are locked. And then someone will try to push down the arm, and you will resist. Now, if you do a good job, it will be very tough for anyone to push down your arm. Now, when you think of something negative, something that really triggers you, immediately this will stress your body, and it'll be much harder for you to hold your hand straight. So you have to use more energy. And a trained kinesiologist can use this muscle, we also call it muscle testing, to ask questions to any part of the system, the brain, the neurological system, the subconscious mind. I even found ways that we can connect directly to the higher self using this technique. And it's kind of, I also call it, it's kind of like a lie detector, because we can use also, for example, measuring the skin resistance will give us exactly the same result. It correlates 100%. You can use a machine where you, like a little lie detector, get the same result. So you ask questions. And when you ask something that's stressing the system, let's say you will say, you ask a person, when you were 3 years old, were you happy? And they would say yes. If it's not true, if something happened when they were 3 years old, immediately the body will stress and the muscle will go weak, and they will know there was a problem in that, let's say, age. And then you can go and specify. is anything to do with your father, with your mother, with school, whatever it is. And by asking the right questions, you can quickly find the precise moment that an incident happened. You can even know who was involved, what time it was of the day, what date it was, because in the subconscious mind, we have every detail from anything that happened in our life. It's like a recorder that records day and night everything that we go through. And using kinesiology is a way to access that information, find out what's going on, and also a way to see if we do an intervention, if there's an immediate correction or not. So I would know immediately if something worked or didn't work. I also will know if I found the right remedies, if I'm doing the right therapies, and it makes life 10 times easier for a therapist.
Now, of all of the, you've been doing this for 3 decades now, at least, from what I'm gathering here, but of all that, all of the different people that you've worked with from all over the world, are there particular cases that stand out for you or that maybe drive you forward?
Yeah, well, there are many cases, but my area of, I would say, the most passion, what I'm most passionate about is the work with terminal cancer patients. These are cancer patients who normally have heard that they only have 3 to 6 months to live. And, you know, and those are very, very tough cases to deal with because a lot of them have had chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. They're beaten up, they're, you know, they don't have hope anymore, they're depressed, the family is depressed and all of that. So those are the hard cases. And each time you can help one of these people to really get back to life, it's like the biggest reward that I can ever get out of everything I've been doing. And I would say that, you know, let's say from every 10 cases, there are like 6 that you can really, really help. There are 4. I would say 60% of terminal cases, you can still do a lot for them. And, you know, 40% you can only help them to accept and to maybe deal better with what's happening. But those for me are the cases that really, really have changed my life and give me so much energy. And I'm right now working also on a new book and a new therapy for cancer. That's about how to deal with cancer and what happens when the doctors tell you that you have so many months to live, what really goes on and how we can change that. Why most of the time the doctors are not right, that they're just looking at statistics and telling you the average that will happen. But it's not that for everyone it's the same. There's always a chance. If we know how to fight, there's always a chance we can win. We cannot always win, but it's worth trying. That's the basic message that I have.
You talk a little bit about the 3 levels of consciousness. Can you tell me what they are and how they're linked to our wellness?
Yes, basically, there are different ways to look at it. One is, I look at also at it from the level of manifestation. A lot of people know about The Secret, the Law of Attraction, all of that. But if you look simple at the 3 levels as an evolutionary process, we start at level 1 where I call it the level of hard work, where we put a lot of energy into achieving our goals, into making our dreams come true, you know, and energy is everything. Then you get a little bit wiser and you start working smarter. And level 2 is where we start listening better to our intuition, where we don't use as much energy, but we become much more in a kind of a flow going towards our goal. It becomes a little more effortless, but still requires some energy. And the 3rd level requires total detachment. That's where we accept that there's a bigger plan. We also look at our goals in a different way. We also overcome our ego. And this is a level where intention is everything. So I call it where you actually don't work anymore. And it also corresponds with the 3 levels of happiness. The 1st level of happiness is, I call it competitive happiness. And for example, I come from a family where we had 8 children, 5 boys, 3 girls. we had to compete for attention, of course, from our parents. And when we got the attention, didn't matter how we got attention, we were happy. So there was competitive happiness, level one. So we worked hard to get attention. When you get stuck at this level, late on in life, you still regard attention as love. So, and you will do everything to get attention, even stuff that will hurt others. But because in the subconscious mind, attention is equal to love. The second level is conditional happiness, and you can compare conditional love. You have to give something to get something back. And we see that a lot in relationships. People invest in relationships and they have hope for a good return on investment. When it doesn't work, they get frustrated, and a lot of people get divorced. And then the third level is what you can call the core happiness. That is who we really are. When we are completely connected to our highest self, we are happy from ourselves. We have no external approval or stimuli necessary. Everything comes from inside. And when we look at life, we look at two persons, same age, let's say they're both 70, and one person walked the path and they were evolving their soul, their development itself. This person will be a person that's happy, be inspiring. You love to spend time with these people. But the other persons that are stuck and did not resolve their emotions, they're bitter, they're sour, they're living in the past, they're complaining all the time. You stick with them for 5 minutes, you already feel exhausted. They like suck your energy. They become like energetic vampire. So in life, we have to walk one of these two paths. And I choose to walk the first one that brings us the most healing, the most health, and the most vitality.
Wow, this is such an amazing interview. I'm so delighted to bring Roy Martina to the table. Everybody, check it out, www.roymartina.com. I'll be right back with a few more questions. If you guys want to call in, if you've got a question, you can pop over into the chat and type it in, www.gemgin.com, or give us a call right here, 781-325-4569. We'll be back in about a minute.
Hey, what's up, man? It's your boy Poe, a.k.a. PD, the Hurricane, man. I'm not understanding why you want to listen to the third or the second lady. You can listen to the first lady of my company, Exclusive Fashion and Curve, and Choice Treasures on GemGem.com. Tune in every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 and listen to the lovely first lady, KD.
Choice Treasures is hosting a talent search for a new segment host. Do you think you have what it takes? Are you an expert in your field? Can you commit to 15 minutes a week for 10 weeks? Then we want to hear from you. This is an opportunity to work with one of the most respected TV and radio personalities on air today, Miss Lucy Diamond of ILN Productions. Be heard by tens of thousands of listeners every week. Join a growing team of professionals. Get your message heard. It is all waiting for you, so what are you waiting for? Go to www.choicetreasures.com for more details on how you can take advantage of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Choice Treasures is hosting a talent search for a new segment host. Go to www.choicetreasures.com and start your future today.
You're listening to ILN Radio on the ILN Radio Network with your host, Miss Lucy Diamond, director of Intuitive Life Network, a variety talk show that sheds light on ways to maintain physical, spiritual, and industrial balance in your life.
Harness the power of positive thinking, ordaining reality. Possess the power and understand the link between thoughts and their ultimate outcomes. Put the science behind the power of positive thinking in your hands. Order this truly life-changing book today at www.ordainingreality.com. And while you're there, check out the reader's blog. That's www.ordainingreality.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to ILN Radio here on Gem Gin. We're live today with the amazing author, Ray Martina, and Roy Martina. I haven't even had an opportunity to tell you guys the name of the book. If you want to do a Google search, it is Emotional Balance. You'll find many book reviews on there. This is one book, let me tell you, the publishers send us over a few chapters, and usually, you know, they send us over the book. You get to read a couple of chapters. This is a cover to cover, let me tell you that. A lot of the great teachers of our time, including our own Joe Donlin, who's has a show here with us, they tell us the same thing, that we create our own reality. Now, for most of us, it's so hard to believe, because if it's true, why do we create so much misery, war, poverty, and suffering? And to explore those questions with us today, we have Roy Martina. And Roy, can you tell us why that's so?
Well, from what I've researched, what I found is the following, and that's really, I think, a big eye-opener for me. Before we reach the age of 7, we do not have a filter between what we kind of see outside, we observe, we hear, and or what I call the subconscious mind. Everything is accepted as being true. So after the age of 7, we start to develop this so-called critical mind. And the critical mind is kind of a barrier between outside and inside. So before the age of 7, we believe everything. We believe fairy tales, everything is true, and so Santa Claus is real, everything is real. After the age of 7, we start to look a different way at the world, and we start to make distinctions between what we think is real and what's not real. So before the age of 7, children also tend to see more of the fourth dimension. They see more of the ancestors, of angels, the guides. After the age of 6, 7, it starts to change. A lot of children before the age of 7 also have a recall of past lives, and also this changes. With the coming of the critical mind, on one side, we shut off all the information that we receive before the age of 7. So if let's say your mom says to you, "Hey, Roy, you did a great job, I'm proud of you," I have now in my subconscious mind to believe I need to make my mom proud. If I make my mom proud, she is happy, and I'm a good boy. So now I will become a pleaser. I will do everything to make my mother and other people happy. If my mother said to me, "Roy, you did a fantastic job, I am sure you are proud of yourself," then it will be totally different. So these little things and everything we see, we kind of register, and it goes very deep. Let me give you an example of something, of some research, not my research, but from other scientists. What they discover, if before the age of 7, someone you love or someone in your inner circle dies, the chances that you die from the same disease or accident around the same age as the loved one is statistically much higher. So let's say your uncle dies at 40 and he drowns in a swimming pool. Your chances of drowning increases statistically significantly. If your uncle died from a heart attack, you will easier die from a heart attack, and so on and so on. So our reality is created for 80% through our subconscious mind. That's why we keep recreating misery. But in itself, it's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but the reason it's good is by doing that, we need to unlearn. We need to find a way to remove all this garbage from our minds. We need to change our beliefs. We need to find ways to discover who we truly are, and not only the things we absorbed from our environment, not the things that were said to us and we start believing them. So I think the way it is the way we created a system that first we collect a lot of garbage and nonsense, and then later in life, sooner or later, you become so tired of being miserable that you start looking for ways to change your life. And I think there must be a reason that it's constructed this way.
Can you tell us a little bit about how to change our perceptions and how they affect our biology for the listeners out there, or what they could expect to learn about that concept and process from reading the book?
Right. Yeah. So basically, there are millions of ways to change things. I truly believe that's possible. Some of the Eastern ways, they take a long time. You know, if you meditate for whatever, 10, 20 years, definitely your life will change. And most people in the West don't have either time or the patience to do some of that. So what I try to do is to collect techniques that work very, very fast. We have a success rated phobias of over 96% in just one or two treatments. And people can do it for themselves. It's not, you don't even have to go to a therapist. Post-traumatic stress, normally in one treatment, 90% of the cases are resolved. And these techniques that I use with my own patients, and I teach them so they can do it at home so they can help themselves, these are in the book. So there's special visualization exercise in the book. People also buy the book and get free downloads of guided meditations that will help them change the subconscious mind. But the book mainly is about the systems of the acupuncture, acupressure, and how to use the chakras to get very fast results in healing. It's been researched by a professor in Taiwan, and they measured people using these techniques. And what they found is that people heal at least 4 to 5 times faster than when they don't use these techniques. When people only get like herbs or homeopathy or acupuncture, they will heal, but these techniques help them to heal faster. They're simple to use. People can apply them right away. There are many examples in the book, so people can read the examples, see what fits for them, find the exercise in the book, and start applying them right away. It's so easy to use that I would love to teach it to children. I've already taught some children, and some of my trainers also teach even in kindergarten and a lot of these techniques. It helps children to get a better self-esteem, self-worth, and all those things. So everybody can do it at home. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's easy to apply.
You talk about the application of taking responsibility for situations as you connect to your intuition, and then you call this shogunai. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, basically it all comes down to our spiritual concepts. I don't believe that anyone on this planet can really tell us what's really going on, but I'm looking from a standpoint of view as a holistic medical doctor and not from a religious standpoint of view, which could be totally different from each other. So as a religious doctor, as a holistic doctor, I found out that we do have past lives, and it doesn't matter if you believe in them or not. And those come back into play in this life. That's one thing that's for everybody the same, no matter what they believe. These are just the rules. There's also something called the law of karma, where the things that you do have consequences. And karma is not good or bad. It's just the consequence of your actions. And the goal of the whole system, and even disease fits into that, it comes down to just one thing. We are on a path where we are forced, and I use the word forced really with emphasis, to find our own inner self, our own inner truth. The body is governed by two principles, pain and pleasure. A whole neurological system is based on that. The whole planet is based on the law of duality, a feminine, masculine, day and night. Everything we experience here is always in the duality. And in acupuncture, they found, when we look at the sign of acupuncture symbol, like this round symbol, where we have like the two halves, like black and white in there, which all is about duality. So basically, we're learning to make choices step by step, that we're going to make the choice coming from our highest self, coming without ego, coming without fear, choice made based on love. So that's the whole system, what we're talking about, shogunai, is about the whole pathway where we are kind of in a labyrinth, but if you go one way, you're going to suffer, and you go another way, you're going to feel pleasure. And so we come always to these T sections where we have to choose left and right, and step by step, we learn to make our choices from a higher standpoint of view, not from fear, not from anger, not from emotion, not from ego. And then the body starts to heal itself, we become happier, and basically we are fulfilling why we're here on earth. And that makes actually healing spiritually and disease is part of the whole process that we hear as divine spirits playing a game called life.
Particularly, there's a part here in, I'm trying to figure out which paragraph I'm reading without losing it, but it's chapter 2 that I'm in, and you bring it out so, you know, so plainly. Whenever we're in the midst of turbulence, we first need to go to that state, the state of effortlessness. This is the state of trust in the divine intent, connecting with our own intent and aligning the two. It is the state of acceptance, forgiveness, and letting go. It is the path of least resistance, not because we want to avoid work, but because we know that we get more done when we allow the universe to do its work. When you work with your patients one-on-one, are there exercises that you do to assist people to get to this level? And are there exercises or instructions on how to do that within the book?
Yeah. And basically, one of the first things what for many people is controversial is that when I start working with them, I first tell them the first step we're going to make is to accept that where you are. The second step is that things may get worse. And the third step is that things get really, really bad. And maybe you can even die from this disease, whatever the disease is. Now, a lot of people don't come to me to accept being sick or to accept things being worse. But if I can get them to accept that, I'm taking away the fear. You see, if a person has cancer and they're afraid of dying, all their energy is focused on not wanting to die. So that energy cannot be used for healing. But if I work with them, where they accept that they may die, where they accept that the cancer may get worse, where they accept that they may die from cancer, then all of a sudden that negative energy is not there anymore. And then they come in that state of peace, where they make peace with the fact, you know, that they're human, that the body can suffer and the body can die. And now we have the energy of the spirit to work with. We have the energy that's not corrupted anymore by fear, and we can have them connect to love, to the higher self, and work from that perspective. So one, it's so important to accept that death is part of being alive. And if we have no fear of death, we have all the energy to be alive. And then we can connect to our higher self. So that's how it works in the practice. And in the book also, a big part goes into forgiveness and explaining that forgiveness, we're not doing forgiveness for another person. We're doing forgiveness only for ourselves. We're forgiving to be liberated from the past. We're forgiving to be free of poisoning ourselves with what happened in the past. And once we accept that everything that happens in our lives has an intention to bring us to a higher level, then we move to the next phase. And then the third phase is where we can see the message, how we've been getting stronger by things that happen, how we can become even more loving despite of the things that happen. So it's a process. And in the book, it's explained in such a way that people have little exercises that step by step bring them to the place where they can be at peace, where they can experience in harmony, and they can feel the love inside. And that's the when you really start with the healing process.
This is an amazing interview today, everybody. We are live with Roy Martina, who is taking our questions. I just want to skip ahead a little bit here. I know we've only got just a few minutes left of the show, and boy, I could talk to you for hours. I'm sure people pay a lot of money to come listen to you for hours. I want to ask you one more question before we talk a little bit about who should contact you and how they would get in touch with you. But why do we need to achieve emotional balance collectively?
Okay, so from my standpoint of view, even though a lot of things that happened in my career led me to be more into spirituality, but the foundation is about healing on a very, very simple basis. When we look at the meridians in the body, these are like electrical circuits. The energy has to flow in a certain direction. When it's not flowing in in its free flow, there's stagnation. When there's stagnation, always disease follows. So if we can get the free flow back, people will be in a healing process. But what was amazing for me to discover, that people become happier. People are more optimistic. People are more loving. They forgive easier. They relate better with others. So I start looking at healing from a different perspective, not because I was searching for it, but because it was happening right before my eyes, just allowing the energy to flow. That state of flow is called the emotional balance. That's when we can access easier or higher self. And when people, I see people do so much work, meditating, doing qigong, and all kinds of exercises that are wonderful that I'm also doing as well on the side. But when we achieve that, just by doing the acupuncture points and the visualization, it is so much faster, so much easier, and the rewards are just so much greater. So my work has been, since then, helping people to achieve that state of flow, and that's what we call emotional balance. And that happens to be a spiritual state where we are much more in connection with the inner love deep inside of ourselves.
What an amazing interview. Thank you so much for coming here and just answering our questions. And really, you've clarified so much from so many of the other shows that we've had on the show. This really brings it together. If you guys have been following Ordain Your Reality, if you've been following what we've been trying to accomplish here on ILN Radio, I have to say that this one particular book sums up so much. And any of you who, if you do read it, we certainly want to hear back from you and hear how it touched your lives. I know I'm going to make sure that I get a copy of it myself, because as it is, as I said, they've sent us over 3 chapters, and this is one that I probably would have read cover to cover. Now, you've got workshops internationally. There's lots of ways for people to have an audience with you. How? What's the best way to get a hold of you, or what's the best way to follow that?
Right. The easiest way right now is to go to the website emotionalbalance.com. And then because we have so much stuff that we want to give away to people, from guided meditations, we're going to organize a Taylor Summit, we're going to have mini workshops. So through internet, we can do so much nowadays for people. So they even can go to my website or to emotionalbalance.com. I would recommend them to go to emotionalbalance.com, because there's a lot of information on there, and they can, you know, sign up, they'll get news, and whenever we have a workshop on internet, a lot of it will be for free. They can follow that, because it's time now to really make a big shift, because time is running out and we all are working together to get the big shift happening. So I'm happy to be part of that movement.
Oh, I'm so glad to have met you. Really, that's Roy Martina, guys. www.roymartina.com. He is available for booking and for additional interviews as well. I know, Roy, that Joe Donlin, who is the physicist, he has a show here on Thursday evenings, and I'm going to forward his information to you, because I'm sure there's so much you guys can bring to the table together. And I'd like to also extend an open invitation. We'd certainly like to stay up to date and on top of what you're presenting for the global community.
Super. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great, great pleasure. And keep doing this great work. This light needs to shine everywhere. Thank you, thank you. I'm really happy to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'll be getting in touch with you. Folks, stay tuned. We've got WTF Radio coming up at the top of the hour. Ways to Faith, you can find it here on gemgin.com.
You've been listening to ILN Radio. ILN Radio is an IntuitiveLifeNetwork.org production.